Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how's your soul doing? You know, we all want to plug in and see if we're on track. On track for what? What does it have to do with our soul? And who is our soul anyway? And to help us understand that better is the author of this wonderful book, who's back on the show again because she's so insightful and what a master. The author of Soul Whisperer, Annette Rugolo. Annette, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. Great to be back.
It's so much fun talking with you because, and I think our audience will appreciate that we speak the same language, and I think our audience does too. But it's always good to talk about the fundamentals of our souls to help us live in this world better and even communicate with others who have no idea what we're talking about.
So that's always fun.
Yeah, well, we're, you know, some people will say we're very strange.
A lot, yeah.
But we're born to be, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't know when I was born that I chose this.
Sure.
Yeah, it just kind of unfolds. And that if you resist it, my belief is you get sick. You know, it's like you have to step into it at some point.
And well, yeah, I guess I found that I couldn't resist any of my soul interests through life and kept on taking strange turns on the road only because I didn't know how to do anything else. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of this soul journey for all of us, is that we might say or ask, who's in charge? Is it our egos, our minds, our souls? So what do you think?
Well, my belief is that up until a certain point, our souls have, our personalities in this lifetime spend most of the time the personalities in charge. The mind's in charge, the emotions are in charge, the personality is in charge.
Well, maybe it only thinks it's in charge.
Well, it thinks it is, but we've given it permission to be in charge. So as we start connecting more on a soul level, what I've seen with people that step into this work is the personality goes in resistance because it still wants to be in charge. And when we give it over to the soul, it's like, hey, I still want to be in charge. So there's this a little bit of a fight. Now, you know, it's like this, who is in charge? And I see a lot of people, it's like, we all need our soul to be in charge. If they were, this would be a totally different world.
But we don't always know how to make our souls take charge.
Exactly.
By getting out of the way, because we don't know what our souls will do. Because they're not our egos. So our ego is our great judgment instrument.
Well, the soul, a lot of times what I've seen, and I know from my own life, if I look back 20 years ago on my life, I never would have even imagined that my life would have been this. So it's like there's wonderful surprises and there's wonderful gifts that our soul has, but it's like there's this, we don't trust that. What the personality does is like it keeps us safe. It keeps us locked in to, this is our security blanket. This is what I want my life to be. If my life looks this way, I'm okay.
Right, but you've talked about in your book, you talk about the law of attraction. Mm-hmm. And it's really, you can only really attract what your soul has come here for. And you can try to attract other things, but there'll be resistance because it's not what you're here for. But your mind and your ego don't know that. So they're going to fight to have things that they desire. But the soul is saying, no, we're here for other purposes.
What I describe in the book, and this is something I've come to understand working with Marie Diamond, is there's three levels of the law of attraction. There's the soul level, karma, dharma, what our soul attracted, where we live, who we were born, the family we were born into. It attracts all of that to give us the experiences that we need in this lifetime. What I know a lot of people watch the movie The Secret, and that really talks about the law of attraction of the personality, the human level.
Right.
What we think,
it
what
sucks, we yeah.
Right. And that's a piece of it. And then we have the environmental level, which is the energy of our environment. So the way I teach it and help people understand it is when our environment, our personality, and our soul are all in alignment, that's when things flow. We have to pull everything in alignment so everything's working in collaboration instead of resisting and working against each other.
Right. And the only way to get into alignment is to not let our egos take charge of it.
And that's a biggie. That's a biggie for a lot of people.
That's the hardest.
Absolutely.
We want to control life, and our egos are how we think we can do it.
Right.
And so if we want what we want, well, then we're going to figure out through our egos how to get it. And yet the universe will bring us what we need and what we're here for magically.
So one of the things that I look back at, and I didn't realize this was all happening at the time, but it was a huge wake-up call for me. So I call it it's mental illusions. So for almost my entire life, I grew up as a young adult, early adulthood, thinking, if my life looked like this, I had a picture of what my life needed to look like in order for me to be happy. So by the time I was 36, 37, I created that. Like, we can create our reality. So I created this life where I was married, had this house in the suburbs, two cars in the garage, a yard. You know, it's like there was something in me that said, as long as my life looked like this, I would be happy. So what the container that we create for ourselves, thinking that we're going to be secure and happy. I finally got that. And I'm in it. I'm in this container I created. And I was miserable. I was miserable. And it's like, this isn't what I wanted. And I think a lot of us do that. It's like, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. It's so different. And I left that, went to Edgar Cayce's School of Massage, and started my spiritual path. And it was one of these paths that was, there was no security blanket. There was no, I call it just security. I had to let go of everything, but I found everything.
And I think a lot of people, who, especially our listening audience, who are listening for a reason, understand that and realize that we have to think through our soul instead of through the outer world that supposedly feeds us.
Exactly. And I think one of the things we have to do is look at, and so we have so many different pressures. We have pressures from our family, we have pressures from society. So it's like really discerning why we are choosing to have the life we're living. Is it somebody else's life that we're living, or is it really our own? And I think that's a big, like, if we sit with it and go, is this what's making me happy? Am I really happy in this life? And who's creating it for me? Over the years.
The conditioning of our family.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
look how many people go into a profession with the pressure of their family going, this is what you need to do. You have to carry on the tradition.
Yeah. My family were all artists. So I felt destined to have to be an artist. And, you know, I became a photographer, and I think a good one, but it wasn't where my heart was at. So while I had a photo studio in the photo district, I was one of the founders of the New York Marathon. And I felt, and it was a really a spiritual path for long distance running, to promote long distance running. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a, you know, because it's the loneliness of the long distance runner, which I had many years of being, even before there were almost any other runners out there. And so that was a real spiritual expression of me. And so I did that for many years without any income from it. It was just that a love for that, and couldn't really, I was able to barely support myself as a photographer, but that's where, because my heart wasn't in the art, it was in the spirit. And so a lot of people, you know, they might not be as traditional in different ways, but they're still following some path that their family has conditioned them for.
And I'm very excited to see a lot of the younger generations not doing that. It's like, yes, they're blazing their own trails. So something has shifted definitely in our culture. You don't see that anymore. Not as much.
Right. And these younger souls, they are quite advanced generally. They might not realize it yet, but they're here to think differently.
Right.
And I think there is a time coming. I don't know what your familiarity is about, you know, ascension and, you know, new energies coming onto the planet that will enhance our consciousness.
Oh, it's happening constantly. And we just, this was a huge year, I believe, for that. Big energies coming in this year several different times. And there's another, every year around Christmas, I'm always kind of open and preparing for the energy. There's always energy coming in around the Christmas season to help uplift and open people's hearts. So.
And that's what's interesting, and you're familiar with the cards, the destiny cards, is that the last couple of weeks of December are all heart card days.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, including December 25th, which is the Six of Hearts, which means it's a very fussy heart. So that's why in Christmas people are fussy about how much love is or is not being expressed, you know, how correct people are about how they express caring or not. And so it's a difficult day. And so but every day is a different heart card at the end of December. And then the beginning of January are all spade cards, which is more about spirituality and mastery too. So every year we have these particular cards that we're moving through. So we're here actually living lives that reflect energy in very powerful ways that we don't realize. Some of us realize powerfully because we're tuned into it, and other people have no idea what they're playing with.
And one of the things that I've seen over the years, I've been teaching meditation for 20 years now, and one of the things that I've realized is there are people on the path, on the spiritual path, both consciously and unconsciously. So it's very interesting. It's like I've talked to people that are enlightened. I know they're enlightened, but they don't know they're enlightened.
Right. Because you can tell by their empathy and compassion and, you know, higher frequencies that they exhibit through their personality.
And they have totally stepped into their work of, you know, what their soul is here to do, their soul service. But so they're doing it. but they're doing it, and I don't want to call it unconsciously, like they're doing it from a level of just knowing, that there's a knowingness, that this is what I'm here to do, I'm doing it, and they don't question it.
And there's even some scientific teaching about that, that we are really just conscious agents of reality, and we can't do anything about it. So we're just here living through our consciousness, performing whatever purposes our soul has undertaken to move reality forward.
Right, right. And it's this is an exciting time. There's more consciousness, and I know sometimes when you look at the news or you look at the world, it doesn't look that way. But I always like to keep a bigger perspective. So I always look at where we've come from, where we were even 30 years ago or 50 years ago. So things are moving faster, and there's an expansion happening faster than I ever would have imagined even 20 years ago.
Remember, I forget the name of the movie, that it started off with everything was black and white. And then it evolved, and all of a sudden, the second half of the movie, or near the end of the movie, it became color.
That's Pleasantville.
Pleasantville, right? That's it. Yes.
I was actually just talking about that with somebody a few weeks ago. Exactly. And I watched that like 20 years ago or something, or whenever it was out. It's like I've got to go back and watch it.
Yes.
Because like all the color came into their lives, but some people received it. Some people, so here there's this movie, and the colored people were the ones that were working with the color. They were called the coloreds. And then there's the, you know, the black and white people.
The traditional people.
Traditional. So that was such an amazing movie. But that's what's happening. There's all the energies coming in, and a lot of people are now receiving it. So I work with, do soul sessions and work with people. And I always kind of watch for patterns. And I would say within the last 2 months, there's been this huge awakening. Like all of a sudden I'm hearing from people that I've never heard from, or people I hadn't heard from for a while. And it's like the energy's come in, the light's gone on. And now they're seeing things or feeling things they've never felt or seen before. And they needed help understanding what they're seeing and feeling, and needed help to move forward, to clear a lot of this. Sometimes it's karma that's being shown or that's coming up.
Well, so, it's a lot of it has to do with the gifts that, the extrasensory gifts that we've been given that aren't awaken all of us, and then as they awaken, all of a sudden we understand things, know things, see things, hear things that we don't know where it's coming from. It's just happening, and we learn to adjust our minds to this new input.
It's like, yeah, the spiritual senses, the clairaudience, clairsentience.
Right.
Just really very impactful. So I just kind of watch for different patterns. And for a while, it's kind of dull and, you know, nothing's going on. And all of a sudden, there's this explosion of souls that are opening to those gifts. And it's like they have to know how to use them, what it means. So it's beautiful, beautiful process.
Yes. And, you know, I have a school, Heart River Center for Intuitive Healing, that I've been teaching for 22 years. And so there, you know, so many people really seek out this deeper understanding. And it's, I love it. I really treasure, I don't know how you see it, but very few black and white people come to see me. You know? I seem to attract very awakened people who want more clarity or understanding about things, but because it doesn't matter how awakened we might think we are, we still have karma. Mm-hmm. Our souls you know, there are no souls that have come here without lessons to learn.
Right. Well, and that's why we're here. I mean, it's like, I call it being in the karmic wheel of the planet. And so we're stuck in this karmic wheel. And so one of the things that I believe right now, we have this, I call it a window of opportunity. We have so much energy, so much light right now to release our karma, to grow spiritually, to evolve. And it's like, here's some tools, here's, you know, this is our opportunity. Are we going to take advantage of it or are we not? And a lot of people are, some are not.
Right. And you've been a great gift in so many ways, because you're working very powerfully with identifying lost souls and, you know, soul parts, let's call them. Soul agents.
Yeah, I like that, soul parts.
Right. And that's another thing to understand about souls, is that often in trauma, it captures parts of our soul that don't seem to be able to move on. And we leave part of ourselves behind, still struggling with that. And it has to catch up some way to complete our oversoul.
So so it's so interesting. I love movies to help us understand these different concepts. Mm-hmm. So the movie that I always recommend, it's called The Kid, and it's a Bruce Willis movie, but he plays a very different role. That's not like his macho kind of guy, but it's about somebody who's turning 40, and this 10-year-old kid shows up in his life, 8 or 10, but this kid shows up. So this, his future, past, present, and future all come together as he's turning 40. And the whole movie is about him needing to resolve something from his childhood so he can have the future that his soul wanted him to have.
And the kid helps him do that, right?
Kid helps him do that.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that movie. That's interesting.
It's fun, but it has such a powerful message. But it's like, that's what we have to do. You know, it's like, we don't have to wait until we're a stuck soul to resolve things from past lives or from this lifetime. We get to resolve these things now.
But also, let's think of everybody in our lives are playing a role, because they're all on purpose in some way. And many of them are soul contracts that before we were born, we agreed that these people would be part of our life journey and us of theirs. And so we're all in this lifetime really to support each other's souls, soul journeys, not really our egos or whatever. Often it can even be trouble for our egos. And yet it's great lessons for our soul.
Huge. And I believe, and I know from my own personal path, I came into a family, I had karma to clear with both my mom and my dad. Uh-huh. And to release that, it just totally changed my relationship with them. But I had to be aware of it.
Right. And I need to release it unless you know it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Wonderful.
So that was, we've got some wonderful work. And that's, so I was talking to somebody the other day, actually, about karma. And so she's in, she's in her 50s, early 60s. And she said, I've never heard of that before. She's never heard of karma. And I'm going, you've never heard of karma?
Most people haven't.
Really? I guess I've been in this world for so long. It's like, right. Oh my gosh. It's like, you hear, even if it's like, you know, even in a joke kind of a way.
They might know the word, but most people, you know, aren't prepared for the conversation that we're having. And some are ready for it, and they'll have found the show.
But there's a lot of practices out there that I've come into or come across that they help you activate your Merkaba, activate, you know, your energy, or come into alignment with your higher self, your soul. But they don't talk about the importance of clearing karma. And to me, that's a huge piece of what we're here to do.
Well, to understand our soul journey is really what that's about, because it's really about facing resistance in our soul advancement. And what is that resistance about? Where does it come from? Who represents it? And I love to do that work where I and it's not our, as you know, it's not our minds that can figure it out. We actually receive information from higher guidance that tells us the stories that we then can pass on to people.
I'm working with somebody right now who all of her karma is showing up in her dream states.
Oh, cool.
She gets a dream and she's going, oh, time to clear that one.
That's wonderful. Good for her. I think that way, but I can't always hold on to those dreams and work with them the way I would like. So we're really nearing the very end of the show, and your book is Soul Whisperer, and you're Annette, A-N-N-E-T-T-E, Rugolo, R-U-G-O-L-O. And what is your website, or how can people find you?
Yes, it's AnnetteRugolo.com.
Oh, that's simple. Good.
Very simple. I'm actually in the process of creating a Soul Whisperer program to help others learn how to release souls. So that will be on my website in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, good. Wow. It's always so much fun talking with you.
No, it's great talking with you, Peter. I love these conversations, and I love what you're doing. So
thank you so much.
Very wonderful. Of course.
So thank you for being on Energy Stew again.
Yes, thank you.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening. Thank you.